Golf Smarter number 365, published on January 8, 2013, is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. And by Alpha Brain by Onnit Labs. Alpha Brain contains 11 ingredients perfectly tailored to the most mental of games and clinically tested to improve driving accuracy. Learn more by clicking on the Alpha Brain ad at golfsmarter.com. Also, stay tuned for our Score Zone Short Game Academy. In this episode, the Wedge Guy talks about creativity in your short game, especially when faced with muddy lies and hitting out of divots.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
It's the 2012 PGA Tour Matty B Awards.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, we tap the best minds in golf to help lower your scores with tips, drills, insights, and advice. In conversation with course pros, architects, authors, players, teaching gurus, and coaches, here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to Golf Smarter, Matty B.
It is great to be back. It's been too long.
Happy New Year, my friend.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Yeah. A beautiful new year and a successful and healthy new year to you and your family.
Thank you, and you too. It's been a wild year, some ups, some downs, but I guess that could be true of any year.
Well, right. But before we get into the annual Matty B Awards of the PGA
yes.
Tour, I need an update,
yes.
Man. How is your year? What should we be looking for on television to find you? Although I have seen you in the backseat of commercials.
Oh yes, I have a Volkswagen commercial running right now.
That's right.
And maybe some of the Golf Smarter listeners have seen it. It's a couple out to dinner, and they're in a Volkswagen, and then it looks like they've had a wonderful night out, and then it's revealed that I'm sitting in the back seat, and I'm actually the dealer, and they're on a test drive, and I say something to the effect of, "Yeah, it's been a wonderful, magical night. Can the test drive be over now?" And that's me.
Yeah, right. It's like, all right, Matty, with a little feeling this time, take two. And
yeah.
How many takes? How many takes for one line like that? How many takes do they let you do?
You won't believe this. We shot overnight. We started shooting. They closed down a street in Westchester, New York, and we started shooting around midnight, and I think I got home around 6 a.m. So, yeah, but the reason it takes so long isn't because of what we're doing, the actors. It's everything else. Every time – and I say this to – I teach some acting students sometimes, and I always say every time the camera moves – plan on like getting comfortable. You know what I mean? Every time the camera moves, it's a whole nother set of, and all this stuff is unionized and all this stuff is really thought out, really discussed with the clients. Now some commercials I've done have moved very quick, but others take some time. And this one had a lot going on as far as the car itself has to look perfect.
Yeah, of course.
How they were shooting through a windshield. That was part of the deal. You're outside, so it's not a controlled environment. You're waiting.
And it's middle of the night.
Yeah, so there's all kinds of logistical things that just make it. So as far as me actually delivering the lines, you know, you get what you call you get your close-ups. You get what you call reverses, you know, so they'll shoot over your shoulder and get the other actors' stuff.
Sure.
They call coverage. So, you know, each actor has to kind of go through his thing, and then they do a wide from certain different angles. There's a few different angles of the wide. And so, you know, by the time you're all said and done, you got a break for a meal because that's unionized. It takes a full day, you know, even to get 15 seconds of good quality humor.
Well, and I was going to ask, why would they shoot in the middle of the night? But actually, while you were describing that, it makes sense to me because, one, you don't have to worry about all the extraneous noise and people and traffic
yes.
and things like that. But two,
yes.
they can control the light.
That's right.
That's so
right.
for shooting commercial inside a car, whatever, you know, if you're shooting during the day, it could be cloudy. It could be really sunny. It could have no clouds in the sky, which is terrible for photography. So just the fact that they can control all the light, they got to make you shoot in the middle of the night. And it's like it doesn't matter. You're shooting in the middle of the night. You get paid the same either way.
That's right.
They don't say, oh, well, you have to. This is going to be extra or overtime because you're shooting in the middle of the night.
That's right. I've shot stuff that presumably looks like it happened in the day and it was at night because sunlight changes, and or you just go inside and simulate it that way.
Interesting. Well, you can't do that. Yeah, but
film's different. Film and television different. That moves quicker usually, you know, because it's not – advertising is very precious. You know, everything has to be exactly right, whereas when you're making a film or TV show, those things, you're trying to capture reality. You know, it's okay if there's a shadow across the whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a little different world. But
except, of course, when the microphone drops into the picture from above, it's like, no, don't do that.
That's bad all the time.
All the time. All right. Yeah. So you did a Volkswagen commercial. That was nice. National commercials have got to be good for you.
Yeah, they are. They are. I've been really blessed. I think we were counting. I've done over 40 of them now.
Really?
And counting. Yeah. So it's been – I've been really blessed in that regard that I can – you know, that I'm a full-time actor, you know. And,
wow.
And
still making appearances on a podcast.
Yeah, man.
Get a life, dude.
This is the highlight of my year. Are you kidding? Yeah, let's see. I did I was on The Daily Show this year.
Yes, you were. I saw. Yep. I even wrote to you the next day going, is this a regular gig? What is amazing. You were on The Daily Show.
I was on The Daily Show. Yeah, that's... I was on Boardwalk Empire.
Really?
I didn't see that. And I just got through filming. I did a film. I did a movie. I did a couple movies, but I did a movie called Wifed Out, which... is a new expression, which I learned in doing the movie.
I've never heard the expression.
Right. Okay. You'll find, now that I've said it, you're going to hear it.
Okay.
Our generation would say ball and chain.
Okay.
This is, the kids now say wifed out. So I'll give you an example. Yeah, Fred is going to come golfing with us, but he's all wifed out.
Oh, yeah. So it's a buddy movie, huh?
It's a buddy movie, and I played this really – it's a real stretch for me. I played this bizarre character. I played a tailor, and I'm from a nondescript Eastern European country, and I'm crazy from whatever war. They don't say what war. And I was wondering – you know, you're an actor. You're doing these things, and I'm doing the accent. I'm doing the scenes, and I'm going like, I hope I'm getting this because it's an accent, you know. And one of the producers comes up to me in between takes and is like, thank you for coming. We're so happy you come. I realized he thought I was really from some country.
So wait a minute. How did this Irish boy from Boston do an Eastern European accent? What did you do?
I'm an actor, man. Just an actor. You know, it was you know, back home in the war, we have many terrible times. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, so how many times did you watch, what was the Robin Williams movie that he played the Russian?
Moscow on the Hudson.
Moscow on the Hudson, right? How many times did you watch that to get the accent right?
Yeah, that's it, man. It's just osmosis, I guess. So, yeah, but I knew when he said that, I was like, okay, I did something right. And so, yeah, I did that. And I just filmed, you know who's in that movie, actually, that Wifed Out movie? It's a really eclectic cast. I had like a scene with Eve, who's a famous rapper, and Ron Artest, Meta World Peace, does a cameo. Dustin Diamond, who is Screech and Saved by the Bell, is in this film. So it's a weird, it's a weird film.
And are we going to see this movie? I mean, is it going to make it?
Yeah, it should be coming out. They told me after the new year, like quickly, you know, so I think this winter, but probably like after the new year's at some point.
Awesome.
And, yeah, man, I've been playing a lot of cops. I just did this other show called Orange is the New Black, which is based on a novel.
Okay.
And I play a cop in that, which was fun because I got to be a sadistic, mean, evil cop, which is fun.
Hey, so, crazy guys. Wide range of crazy people for you.
Yeah, which is fun, you know, because it's like it's nice to be able to stretch out of outside the comedy thing sometimes, you know.
My favorite was when the Evo commercial, was that Evo 3D or something, where you're playing ping pong. I loved just going to the movie theater and it was playing in the lobby. I'm like, Maddie, hey, it's a... Oh, you can't hear me.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's a bizarre life.
Well, that's great. Well, congratulations, buddy. We're really happy for you, and we love getting progress reports and hearing about it. So let's roll out the red carpet and start the theme music, because it is time once again for the 2012 or 13. It's the 2013. The Super Bowl is like it's played in 2013, but it's the 2012 Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
because these These awards are celebrating the 2012 season. We're looking back.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, please step right up. Come on, grab a seat, because it's time once again for the 2012 PGA Tour Matty B Awards.
Yeah! That was very well done, Fred.
Thank you very much. I wrote that.
Are you wearing your tux again this year? That's good. The tux I sent you in the mail?
Well, actually, Matty, it was a T-shirt that looked like I'm wearing a tux, but I appreciate the gift. That was very nice of you.
It counts. It's all about the effort.
Only to 10, Meathead.
I've done something creative this year, and this might be this might not work, but so I paired them in twos. Okay.
Isn't it amazing how when you pair something, it's in twos?
I just said that, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Pairing them in sixes.
Okay.
Okay, so I paired them, and the categories have something in common. There's a theme. There's a common thread there.
Oh, it's now a game show. We have to guess?
Yes. Well, since I listen, I'm such a regular listener. I love the show. You're always giving away stuff. I figured maybe if a listener can come up with everything that I was thinking of that combines those two and they're correct, that person will win a prize of some kind.
Okay. And you know what? We are going to give them the world's greatest divot tool. We have the Golf Smarter World's Greatest Divot Tool that's available at golfsmarter.com in our Golfer Smart. And I'm telling you, every single person they bought one. I got an email yesterday from a guy who bought seven to give to his buddies. And he said that everyone loved them. Every person I've given one, they've said, you know what? This is the greatest divot tool I've ever had. So that is it. If you can come up with the correlation of these pairs and get them all correct.
Yes.
Then you will win a Golf Smarter World's Greatest Divot Tool.
What's fascinating about this is that there might be more than one connection. As I was doing it, I was like, someone could say this and they'd be correct, and someone could say this and they'd be correct. So there's a couple. It has layers. It's very exciting. I'm very excited about this, Fred.
Okay, I just need to know, when you were coming up with these layers and the depth, were you drinking?
Quite heavily, yes.
Okay,
heavily.
Good. So then everyone's got to take that into account on what in the heck he's talking about. So let's go to our first category.
The first, Matty, is for most hollow victory.
What does that mean?
The most empty, meaningless victory, Fred. Okay. I've given this award before. This is a comeback award. It's been here before. And this year, the Matty goes to Brent Snedeker for winning the FedEx Cup. Way to go, Brent.
Yay. Now, congratulations, Brent. You won the FedEx Cup and nobody even knew that.
Exactly. And that's why it's the most hollow victory. I'm going to give this award every year until they do something to fix the FedEx Cup.
Watch your language.
It's a big mathematical cluster, you know what? Yes. And nobody cares. Hey, Fred.
It's a cluster FedEx.
There you go. It's a cluster Fed. Do you remember who won last year? Remember how exciting that was?
The most hollow award or the FedEx Cup? You know what? Other than the very first one that Tiger won, I have no idea.
I rest my case. Let's move on. This next award is the Matty for worst endorsement. It's a new category, but it's going to have a connection to most hollow victory somehow.
Ah, the worst endorsement. And that is a paired in two.
Yes, it'll have a connection to the most hollow victory. You have to figure it out.
Okay, so now does the award go to the endorser or the endorsee?
The award goes for the person who's partaking in this terrible endorsement, the endorser.
So the endorser is the person who's paying for this endorsement.
It's the endorsee.
The endorsee. Okay.
Fred, I went to State College. Come on.
So did I, man.
The Matty for worst endorsement goes to Jim Furyk for his heinous 8-hour energy award campaign. Way to go, Jim. You know, Fred, when you're a professional golfer and your endorsement deal and logo looks like a Little League team sponsor, you need a new agent. Well, there you go. What are you holding up?
Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain, our new sponsor.
That's a wonderful product.
It's a wonderful product. Forget energy, because you don't want to be hyper on the golf course. Why do you need more energy on the golf course than you're used to having? That's ridiculous. Right. You need Alpha Brain to calm you down, but it doesn't calm you. It helps you focus. Do I get an award for this?
Okay. You get best endorsement.
Best endorsement. Thank you. But 5-hour energy. It's, you know, that's
8-hour energy.
Eight hour.
Yeah. It might as well be five because you know you crash after a few anyway. It looks so bad. It's like I remember when I was in Little League, my team for a couple of years was sponsored by Jarmo's Auto Repair. I feel like that would look better on his cap than our energy. And you have to at least like fake like use the product at some point. Like we all know, you know, Tiger does Buick, right?
Of course.
We know Tiger doesn't drive. The only time Tiger drives a Buick is when the people from Buick come to his house to play golf and he has to pull it out of the tarp like the Batmobile in Dark Knight Rises.
Well, you know, no. I think basically what you just explained to us, he drives it in the middle of the night for his commercials.
There you go. Yes. So come on. Jim Furyk is not – if that guy – If 5-Hour Energy touches his lips during a golf event, then my name is Bruce Wayne. I'll tell you that.
and isn't Furyk's caddy Fluff?
Yes.
And we know Fluff is not doing 8-Hour Energy.
No, sir. He might be doing other things.
Yeah, right.
But 8-Hour Energy. And if you see the ad, he does iron in the ad. He's like Furyk's like lifting weights, like which is also laughable because you know Furyk's putter shaft is thicker than his biceps, but he's like, he's lifting weights. And if you look behind him, Fred, I swear to God, listeners might have noticed this. There's like no weight. There's no weight on the thing. It's just like he's just faking it in the gym. It's horrible. It's like so cheesy. These are the type of things that bother me, Fred.
And that's why we've called on you today to give us the Matty B Awards, because we need to be reminded of how bothered we should be as well.
Yes, yes. That's no. So those two are connected.
So most hollow victory and worst endorsement.
Yes.
And if our listeners can figure that correlation and get all of these, they will win the world's greatest divot tool.
And just so you know, the connection is Jim Furyk was a FedEx Cup winner, I believe, last year. So the first award was for FedEx Cup winner. And also, they both involve sponsorships. So I think either answer, if a listener said that, would be correct.
Oh, so now you're giving clues.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was doing that like an edit. I'm sorry. I'll tell you at the end.
Oh, you mean want me to edit that out?
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I'm not going to, because that clue alone is going to give our audience a sense of where you're going with this. So the first one's a gimme, okay?
Great thinking.
So it's like taking a breakfast ball on the first tee. It's like, go ahead, hit another one.
Now they understand my wildly complicated game. That's why it's your show, Fred.
They just don't understand why I continue to bring you back for this.
That's why it's your show.
Okay, fine. So our third award of the Matty B 2012 PGA Tour Matty B Awards.
This is a complicated one because we always have to look at the good and the bad of the year, correct,
yeah,
Fred?
That's a shame. Yeah, we do.
So our best villain this year in 2012, the Matty goes to, for best villain, the belly putter.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the long putter became like the devil this suddenly, I don't know, for the RNA and the USGA. And by the way, the USGA is getting more lame and nerdy every year. I don't think it's possible for them to get more lame, but they do. I was watching Mike Davis, his name is, like he runs USGA, and he was explaining the long putter rule change.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounded like he was pledging to Lambda, Lambda, Lambda.
Well, we just...
No, it was Animal House, wasn't it?
Yeah, no. Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, okay.
This guy is... You know, you get a bunch of guys in golf channel sweater vests. He's like, well, we just don't want the putter artificially anchored to the body. It's like, oh, my God, what are we doing?
Well, you know, recently we did a show with Tom Wishon, and actually, thank you, because as we're recording this, you haven't heard it. But we talked at length. We talked for over a half hour about this new ruling and the ridiculousness of the USGA and the RNA about, you know, is this rule has been going on forever, for years. These belly putters have been used, but because five winners this year were using a belly putter or an extended long putter, then they acted. But what was so interesting about this that Tom talked about is they didn't ask anybody. They didn't get any professional advice. They just went ahead and said, oh, well, we can't have that anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, and I don't mind. I'm actually, it's funny. I gave that award to them just because the putters seem to just be so quickly like the thing that was wrong with golf, with professional golf, which I think is wrong. I think there's about a list of five things that are worse that we should address. But what I don't like about it, I'm all for the pros not being able to anchor a putter or a club to them. I think that's fine because they're pros. But to say that an amateur can't do it, I think is crazy. I think there has to be, what do they say, bifurcation?
Yes.
Yeah.
A separate set of rules.
Like I've always said, you know, we get to play golf every once in a while when our wife forgets she hates us and lets us go in a temporary moment of insanity. She lets us go out with friends. We shouldn't have to worry about that stuff. It's okay if they feel, you know, hey look, I shed no tears for a guy like Webb Simpson or someone who uses a long putter, is totally rich, has a hot wife, gets to travel around and play golf to exotic locales for his living, and he's well compensated for it. Guess what? Suck it up. Learn to use a short putter. But don't tell Butch at the local Muni that he's got to do it. That's crazy. So that's why I don't like it.
Well, I think it was Greg Norman who said, if you really think that you're playing on a level playing field by playing the same rules as the pros, then why don't you put your club champion up against one of the worst pros on the tour and exactly. Tell me that it's the same thing. Come on.
Well said by him, because we all know it's a completely different game they play. It just is. So yep. It's crazy. You know, like I play in a rec basketball league, and yes, the rim is 10 feet high, but you tell me I play the same game as LeBron James? I'm white, Irish Catholic from Boston. It ain't happening, my friend. We play a different game.
All right, award number four. Yes. Now, there's a correlation between three and four, and we've got to figure it out. You're not giving us clues.
Yes. Best villain, we got to have a hero. So our best hero award goes to Ernie Els for winning the British Open out of nowhere, Fred. This guy comes in out of nowhere, overcomes his, silly South African accent and huge ass to win this tournament.
Yay, Ernie. You mean it wasn't somebody we've never heard of who won a major this year?
Right. I know. It's quite refreshing. It really was inspiring. You know, all kidding aside, the guy's got a challenges, and he's just been like a professional for years, the nicest guy. And it was so
the big
look,
easy.
The last thing you expected. This is a guy who struggled. He didn't even qualify to play in the U.S. Open, correct? Like, didn't he not? He wasn't allowed. He wasn't able to play in the U.S. Open this year or the Masters. I forget because of his. You know, he wasn't high enough ranked, so he misses out on a major, and then he wins the British Open out of nowhere. So that was my hero award. Your hero award and the villain award are somehow connected. See if you can find the correlation, people.
Okay. And I just love seeing Ernie Els in that big red cape.
Give me a second.
Superhero thing? I don't know. Okay, fine.
Very good.
Glad you caught me on that one. All right. That's good. Okay, number five, the fifth award for the 2012 Matty B Awards of the PGA Tour.
This is going to be a yin-yang again. We have worst moment of 2012 and best moment of 2012. Let's start with the worst.
Okay.
The Matty goes to Ian Poulter beating the U.S. like a rented mule at the Ryder Cup. Oh. Well done, Ian.
Yeah.
He's 12-3, I believe. He's 4-0 in singles. But it's not even his record. It's that – and they were talking about going in of how dominant he can be in these things. And he looked at us in the eye, every guy he was playing, and like the queen, he just stuck out his finger, said, kiss my ring now because I'm just going to – he drained putt after putt, and he does that thing where he just holds his fist and he looks right at the guy he's playing. He holds his fist out. He looks at his teammates. He's a killer. In fact, it was such a bad ass whipping. I believe we should secede our independence as a country.
Wow.
Back to Britain. Yeah, I think the beating was so bad it negates the Declaration of Independence.
He did hit a hot streak at the exact right moment. There's no question. Oh. No, wait a minute. Now, you're saying that was the worst moment?
That was the worst moment of 2012 for me, watching him destroy us.
And I just want to throw out a disclaimer here, because in previous Matty B Awards, when you question Europeans, I get emails yelling at me saying, "Don't you guys watch golf on the international?" I don't think you do you, Matty? You don't really.
You
bleed red, white, and blue stars here.
I do.
Stars
However,
and stripes. Yeah.
As we mentioned before, I was drinking. And also, you must know that one of my goals when I do this is to start another international incident like I started in the first Matty Awards.
Okay.
By saying that Louis Oosthuizen was an obscure loser and started an international incident.
And that's exactly what happened. And what's so interesting is you're 3,000 miles away from me. What do you care that I get these emails?
Good luck. Send the emails to Fred Green at Golf Smarter. Okay, best moment of 2012.
Click on the Hey Fred button and you too can complain to me about Matty's xenophobia.
Well, yeah, it was tough for me watching that guy beat us. Like, ugh. All right, best moment of 2012. Now, last year I gave this category to the Golf Boys for their funny, humorous music video they did.
Yeah, I need to talk to you about that.
Okay.
Because once Bubba won at Augusta.
Yes.
The Golf Boys video.
Yes.
Shot up to number one in iTunes, so that when you're in iTunes and you just type in the word golf, Golf Smarter was displaced by Golf Boys.
Shoot.
So I was like, hey, go ahead, pull out your iPhone, type in golf, don't even hit return, just type and watch what happens on the intuitive, you know, the stuff that pops up. It's Golf Boys.
Oh no, they usurped you.
They did. But well, I dealt with it. So, but
I'm retroactively taking away that award from them then.
Thank you.
The best moment of 2012 goes to one of the Golf Boys, whom mm-hmm. actually you just mentioned. The best moment of 2012 goes to Bubba Watson.
Bubba Watson, you bet.
Getting the crowd going as he teed off at the Ryder Cup. Fred, I maintain to you, I said last year that Golf Boys moment, I know it's painful for you, but I said to you that moment was a key moment in golf, as silly as it was, because it was bringing golf to a new generation. It was
correct, edgy,
it was funny, it was ridiculous. This thing was the same thing. In fact, it's not an announcement yet, but I've been talking to...
Wait, you're talking about Golf Smarter again? Edgy, funny, and ridiculous?
Yeah. Well, edgy, funny.
Okay.
It's only ridiculous when I'm on.
No,
I was talking to a group of people. There's a new network coming out called the Back Nine.
Back Nine.
Yeah. I've been speaking with them because they're located locally. I might be doing some work for them very soon.
Can you please drop my name? Because
will do.
Yeah, I think I know one of the guys there, and he forgot about me.
Oh, well, I'll put a stop to that.
Okay,
because
they need their Larry King character.
Yeah,
and
man.
I'd be happy to just go, Pittsburgh, hello!
Well, you know what I'll do? I'll send him this, too.
Okay,
I'll send
cool.
him
this.
Very
fun.
Interview.
Okay, good.
So anyway, we were talking, and I said, you know, that moment to me when he did that, when he got the crowd going as he was about to tee off, didn't wait for them, and people were saying Happy Gilmore. I said, no, it wasn't Happy Gilmore.
No.
It was exactly what golf needed.
Yep.
Exactly what golf needs. And it was so wonderful. I thought it was so, to me, that moment encapsulated where golf should be, the direction they should be trending. And again, I don't mean, you know, Happy Gilmore. I mean the enthusiasm, the lack of pretension that moment had.
Mm-hmm.
Just the heart it had. I'm not going to say any more because Bubba's going to come back.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Well, also, I just want to remind you, I'll just give you four words to tell you why that may have been frowned upon and may never happen again. Those four words are USGA.
Exactly. Lambda, lambda, lambda. The nerd squad.
Okay.
Thanks
really
a lot, guys.
Nice of you. Thank you very much. We just feel, well, you know, Gary, we just feel that a putter shouldn't be anchored. No, no, I don't think that's fair that they should play different rules.
Oh, okay. So we have best moment and worst moment. Those two are connected, besides the fact that it was just Ryder Cup.
I think I know that connection.
There's another connection there.
Oh, there's another one besides the Ryder Cup?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're going to make me feel. I was thinking, it's Ryder Cup. He's already said it. No, there's something else.
It is. They're both Ryder Cup people. There's something very specific, though.
Okay.
Even about that moment, see if someone can get it.
Okay.
Lightning round before we get to the big one.
Okay.
Here we go. The Matty for setting the bar too high award goes to Tiger Woods for winning three times and nobody really caring because he set the bar too high.
Yes, he did.
The Matty for best name on tour, rookie John Huh. Now, he's Korean. His name is Huh, but I put a question mark on it. So I say, it's John Huh. Which I love.
It's John.
Huh?
Yeah. Who is it? It's John, huh?
Huh? John, huh?
Huh?
The Matty for worst. Or you can say it like, wow, he's been winning a lot, like this. You know who's been winning a lot? John. Huh. It's wonderful. There's so many possibilities for bylines and headlines.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
Man. Who won? No. Huh won. No, we got a who's on first.
Just have when he wins his first master or something, they'll just have a big huh with a question mark.
Right, exactly. Okay.
The Matty for worst name is the rare tie. Congrats to Webb Simpson and Brant Snedeker for making golfers sound like we're all country club kids who wear seersucker shorts with whale ties and all have sisters named Buffy.
With an eye that's a flower on top.
Yes. The Matty for best perm goes to Rory McIlroy. You know, I think he actually, Fred, won a major this year. But more importantly, nobody has worn a male perm as well since, you know, I got to go back to Barry Williams, who played Greg Brady on the Brady Bunch. Brunette, curly, but not frizzed out. Well done, Rory. The Matty for hottest wife.
No, come on. That's his head of hair. He didn't do that.
Oh, yeah. That's what's beautiful about it. He's not frizzing it. He's not teasing it. It's just his.
Yeah.
He did. He almost lost this, Matty, because for a time, I don't know if anyone remembers this. Maybe I'm the only one who notices this type of stuff. He was actually kind of dyeing it. He was doing the kind of sun-in, like the highlights. He was highlighting
tips.
It.
He was doing his tips. Yeah, he was playing from the tips
He's just a kid. Give him some slack. We all go through phases.
Just give him some cash.
In the lightning round is the Matty for hottest wife. This is one of the most popular Matty Awards, as you know. Well, people fight over this. The Matty for hottest wife this year goes to, well done, Jason Day, for his wife, Ellie Day. Google it, guys. Jason is unseated perennial hot wife favorite, David Tom. Sorry, David. Ellie Day makes your wife look like Mrs. Robinson. So
wow, Ellie Day. I loved her in the Beverly Hillbillies.
Ellie Day, get in here. Okay. Those are not connected. That's just the lightning round.
Oh, okay. Okay. So,
our game is over because now we are on for the final award, the biggest Matty that there is. This is the one that everyone waits for across the world.
Really. Around the world. People have been waiting. I wonder what Matty's going to think is the consummate award for 2012. And that would be
Player of the Year, Fred.
Yeah.
I don't think you can get any bigger than just choosing who's the Player of the Year in golf. And this is going to be controversial because there are guys who had better years on paper, you know, guys who won more. And I've seen it debated. I really honestly did, sadly, give this a lot of thought in between sips. And, you know, I really thought about it. And I said, who's the Player of the Year? And I think it has to come down to more than just who won or who made the most money, who had the best year. So it's an ethereal thing you're looking for, in my opinion.
Well, in golf, yeah. I mean, because it's not just on the stats. It's overall. It's everything, what you contribute and what you've done and who you are and how you've helped promote the game.
Yes.
Yes. And I think that award should go to Matty Blake.
Oh, I gave it to myself. No. I think you know where this is going. I think the listeners have been listening to these awards know where it's going. The Player of the Year for me in 2012 was actually kind of easily Bubba Watson. I don't think there was anyone who...
Bubba, congratulations, Bubba. Will we hear from you in 2013? We don't know.
I hope so, man, because he's the only player... Freddie, I hate to say it. He's the only player I'm really interested in watching. I just love watching him, and I don't even particularly like him. Like, you know, I think he's a little weird, and he's a little ornery with the press, and he's going to be a weirdo, but... when he's on the screen, just like when Tiger used to be on the screen, I have to watch him. Hmm. He hit that shot in Augusta in the second playoff hole to beat Louis Oosthuizen, actually, the aforementioned Louis Oosthuizen, who I started a cultural war with. Bubba hit it in the woods, okay, deep in the woods on that second playoff hole. Right. Nobody thought – there's no one on the planet – he was done. That was it. He was done. The other guys in the fairway, he blasted in the woods. And like he hit a shot that you're only supposed to even attempt – you know, when you're with your buddies and you played extra holes and the Ranger's gone, you got a few course lights too many, rattle around the easy go, and you go, hey, guys, I'm going to bend this around the tree, put it up on the green, and I'm going to make the putt and win the Nassau. He did it at Augusta.
Right.
And then when he cried when he won, and then that moment at the Ryder Cup, I just think he's the Player of the Year. I think he's great for golf. He bought the General Lee. The guy rules.
He's pretty awesome, and you're right, he's very compelling. I think he's compelling in a similar way that Phil is, because you just never know what's going to happen, you know. It's a train wreck waiting to happen, or it's miraculous.
Yes.
And so I think that's the appeal of Bubba, is you just don't know. Where in his heyday, when we were watching Tiger, you couldn't take your eyes off him because you knew he was going to do something remarkable and win.
That's right.
But with Bubba, you just – and Phil, you want to root for him, and you're like, oh, my God, man, what are you doing?
That's right. And Phil actually, now that he's – you know, he had a meltdown this year. He was close to winning a major too, and that's what he does. And it's like – but I think now that he's kind of – you know, if the roller coaster hill, he might be cresting over to the top – kind of going down a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have people like this, like Bubba and some of these other guys. Keegan Bradley, I would put right behind Bubba with this excitement. He's got a latitude. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He's good looking. You know, these guys are good for the game. If the goal supposedly the goal is to grow golf, as USGA always says, let these guys free, man. Let them do their thing.
Yep.
You know, because they're the ones who are going to grow the game. They're good for it. We need, you know, when I was watching golf when I was a kid, Fred, I think I've said it before on this podcast, like the most exciting personalities were like, you know, Steve Pate. Or something, you know, like it was fat white guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
And it's like all these foreign players and these guys who have flair, the styles. It's good. It's good for the game. I love it. It excites me to watch it again.
Well, because it's a TV sport, you know, and it's got to be good TV, because that's what's going to help grow that audience.
That's right. Absolutely.
So now I need to make sure. So now the player of the word a year, Bubba Watson, is that part of the lightning round, or is there a correlation that we have to figure out, or is it just one through six? One and two, three and four, five and six. Those are the ones that have the correlation in that. If people have figured that out, they should click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com. And if you get it correct, according to Matty B, and we'll bring them back to make sure that you are correct. Maybe we'll even do a Google Hangout and get everybody on video together. We'll do a live video Google Hangout. You'll figure it out. Then we'll award that world's greatest divot tool.
Yes, sir. the I would say this is one of those onion layers I was talking about. Bubba Watson, kind of like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, which, by the by.
Yes. Did you do a movie with Kevin Bacon this year?
I did. I'm 1 degree from Kevin Bacon. I delivered a line of dialogue to him in a film.
Really?
Yes.
So that means I am now 2 degrees.
Yes.
And every person who has ever heard this podcast is now 2 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Get on your Facebook page right now and tell folks you are now, have eliminated 4 steps, you are 2 degrees of Kevin Bacon because of Matty Blake.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, at Mystic River, I delivered my line.
You are 1 degree. And what was the line?
I said... I was a state trooper, again, a copsy.
Yeah. And I'm coming from the Irish guy from Boston, big stretch.
Yeah. And he's walking up to the crime scene, and I'm walking away, and I'm the only state trooper in the film, Mystic River, who delivers a line. I say something like, if I can remember, I say, I've never seen anything like that before in my life. That was my line.
Wow. And what did he say? He looked at me and said, shut up.
Yeah, get him off the set, please. Please have your root for that. But
you
Bubba Watson
said it
is,
and said, wait, can I do that again? Can we try that again?
The categories that like you said, Fred, that have the tie-ins together are the most hollow victory and worst endorsement.
Yep. One, two. Which you Those gave us the clue. Yeah.
Yeah, we gave that away. Best villain and best hero have a connection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Worst moment, best moment. Mm-hmm. Those two have a connection between each other. And then the player of the year, Bubba, kind of stands on his own. But you could take everybody on this list and make a connection with Bubba. So if anyone does that, they might have to win. They might have to win two divots. But I don't want to. It's not my show. I don't want to give stuff away.
We'll find something else. We'll give them a second divot tool. I'm running out of things in the prize package here.
Oh, give them that brain stuff. Give them the brain pills.
Yes. No. These are all that I have left. I'm using these for my round of golf, man. The Alpha Brain. Love this stuff. Great stuff. They're great people. On it, Labs. Yeah.
Alpha Brain.
So okay, so now we've well exceeded our 30 minutes, and I'm not going to edit this at all, but I need to know your prediction for 2013. Golf prediction for 2013.
Oh, I was going somewhere totally different. I think
I only need one. I only need one.
Okay. I think that the biggest thing that'll happen that everyone will talk about, I think Tiger wins another major.
And you
I think he gets
another
first. Pitch.
Yep. And you know what? I think that is the safest thing that we can do. Every year we can make our prediction Tiger's going to win another major.
You know what, though? We can go back around the time. I wouldn't have said it last year. I thought he was done, but he's skulking around too much now. Mm-hmm. And when Tiger's skulking like a real Tiger, it's on, and he's close.
Yeah.
I think he'll do it.
Yeah. Well, I just got back from a trip – in Mexico, and And yeah, you can see that. That's how close I was.
Fred is holding up a picture of a tiger. That's amazing.
Look at this puppy. This is I played at the course El Tigre. Is this the no, it's the same one I showed you. Here, look at that. El Tigre. I'm sorry, folks, this is an audio podcast. Maddie and I are looking at each other, but I played the I'll throw this picture up of this is Diego. And Diego is the size of a bear, but is a kitty cat.
My God.
I know. What it's an animal. Amazing, amazing. But this place, they breed tigers at this golf course in this property down in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
Wow.
And they've bred over 80 cubs. And Diego is le stud. All right.
Whoa, what a life.
Well, Maddie B, listen, congratulations on a great 2012 in your professional life and with another amazing episode of the 2012 Maddie B Awards. Thank you very much. It was great to talk to you, buddy, and wish you all the luck in the world. And of course, we can't wait till we get caught up again in 12 months.
You're the best, Fred. At least we chalk it full for them. That's all you can say. We make, have a chock full of material.
This episode of the Golf Smarter Podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. Audible would like to provide Golf Smarter listeners with an opportunity to try Audible with a free audiobook of your choice from their enormous library. Now, what you may want to consider is the book that I'm currently working on, No Ordinary Time, Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt, The Home Front in World War II, unabridged by Doris Kearns Goodwin. No Ordinary Time describes how the isolationist and divided United States of 1940 was unified under the leadership of Franklin Roosevelt. Using diaries, interviews, and White House records of the president's and first lady's comings and goings, No Ordinary Time relates the unique story of how Franklin Roosevelt led the nation to victory against seemingly unsurmountable odds and, with Eleanor's essential help, forever changed the fabric of American society. It reads like a novel, but actually has put my late 20th century perspective in line with what was actually happening while my father was a young man and subsequently a World War II veteran. It's over 39 hours of listening and usually costs $75, but if you open a new Audible account now, this book could be yours for free. For this or any free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. That's audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. It's time once again for the Score Zone Short Game Academy, brought to you by Score Golf, home of the Score 4161 Scoring Club, not a wedge. And you will learn because you can get one for free. All you have to do is click on the Score Zone Short Game Academy button at golfsmarter.com, submit a question about your short game that you'd like to have answered by our expert, and if we answer it on the show, you win a Score 4161 club customized for you and your game and a Golf Smarter Divot repair tool, the world's greatest switchblade divot repair tool. And the expert to answer these questions is the wedge guy, Terry Kaler. Hello, Terry.
Hello, Fred. How are you today?
I'm doing great, and I have a question that, I may not be the only one who suffered through this. You may be as well, but Jerome Stowers, or Stowers, I'm not really sure, but it's Arlington, Texas. Jerome, you know who you are because you asked the question, what is the best way to either chip or pitch when you have a muddy lie? He says, I always seem to get in a really deep divot even when I think I made good contact. I've tried using my 9-iron, my 8-iron, my 7-iron, and I still struggle with distance control, usually coming up a little bit short. Do you have any suggestions to help get consistent distance from these type of lies?
Well, that's a really good question, and it's a situation that arises depending on where you live. Now, in South Texas, we're not seeing a lot of mud these days because we're in kind of a drought. But I want to relate, Jerome, a personal experience with that exact same thing. We were playing in a member golf tournament a few weeks ago, and I had missed a green, believe it or not, to the right on a long par three. And walked up there with my 58-degree wedge and a putter. I was going to hit my pitch shot.
You don't carry wedges. You don't carry a 58-degree wedge, do you?
Well, we're going to let you call them that. How's that?
Okay, fine.
I took a few practice swings, and I could see that this soft turf was just trying to, what I call it, was trying to eat my wedge. I could not get the feel of the shot that I was trying to hit off this turf. And the people I'm playing with, or you know, I'm trying to get the feel of this. We're in a tournament, and I realized I am not comfortable with this shot. And what I did, Jerome, is I went back to the cart, got a hybrid out of the bag, took a couple of practice swings, chip shots, and I chipped it with the hybrid and just kind of putt chipped it through the collar up to about 2 feet, made my par. The other guys were going, I can't believe you did that. But the point being is I tested the turf with this chip shot with my 58, and I realized this is not a good shot right now. And one of the wonderful things about golf is exercise your creativity. You can hit any shot with any club if it feels like the right thing to do. And in that particular situation, I had the grain of the grass growing a little against me. I had a little bit of an upslope. I had very soft turf where the water runoff of the green was going there. And every little practice swing I took, the turf, just this mud, just wanted to eat this golf club. And I realized if these practice swings don't feel good, why would I want to try to hit that shot? And I went back and got the hybrid.
That's impressive in itself, because so many times we'll just go, I'll make it work. I mean, rarely do we take what I like to call a mental mulligan, where you just step away going, I got to regroup here. This is not working for me.
Exactly. And that's what I did. And so when you have soft turf, and if it's rained the night before and the whole golf course is soft, obviously you're not going to chip with the hybrid from everywhere. But so I'm going to give you two things. One, the first part of this lesson, if you want to call it that, is be creative. This is a creative game. You have a little white ball here, and you put it on a tee, and you don't have to be real creative there. But once you get to it, read the lie, read the shot, be creative. Do things that are out of the ordinary. Have some fun with this game, because all that matters is did you get the ball to go where you wanted it to go. And sometimes you have to be a little creative in that, like that little hybrid chip shot. I ran it right through the collar. It ran right across the 30 or 35 feet of green, nestled up a couple of feet from the hole, and I got my par. Nobody's drawing pictures on the scorecard, I always say. And so the only thing that matters is did it work? But when you're in the soft turf, and you do need to be able to hit different shots, my advice is this. Take practice swings and really get the feel of the turf. Get the feel that of what that turf is going to do to your club. Is it going to kind of suck that club in? Is it going to reject that club if it's a hard pan lie? Get the feel for what the turf is going to do to the bottom of the club. When you're in these soft lies, I would give you about three tips. One is move the ball forward so the shallower part of your arc is up, you know, is up forward in your swing. You're not going to dig as deep a divot.
I need to interrupt you there. When you say forward in your stance?
Forward in your stance.
So the ball's going to be closer to your front foot.
If you're a right-handed player, move it up more to your left instep, your left heel.
Okay.
The second thing is, what's a really good idea, is to take a little bit lower lofted club because you are playing it further up, and lay that club open a little bit to engage more of the bounce to help that club come out of that soft turf. So by moving the ball forward, you're shallowing your arc at the ball. You're not making such a descending blow. By taking a lower lofted club and laying it open, you're giving that club more bounce and getting back the loft you want. So, for example, a gap wedge laid open will give you the loft of a sand wedge, but it's going to give you more bounce than that square sand wedge would give you. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does.
So, and the key is, if it's not just a routine ordinary shot, take practice swings to get the feel of how the turf is going to react with that golf club. That's the number one key in soft turf conditions, particularly, or any kind of unusual turf conditions. Take enough practice swings to where you're prepared for the way that turf is gonna eat or reject that golf club.
And the swing itself,
shallower.
Is shallow. So is it more of a putting stroke?
Less wrist break, a simpler swing, body rotation, the club going back and through. When you have a difficult shot in front of you, relax your expectations and simplify everything.
Mm-hmm. And loosen your grip. Get rid of the white knuckles. Lower your shoulders. Take a breath. Right? All those other elements.
You should be doing this podcast instead of me, Fred. That's very good. You've been listening well. Thank you.
Well, I just know that when you get into a situation, I know that when I get into a situation, and I hate saying when you because I'm not an instructor, so I'm just guessing about myself. But when I get into situations like this, everything tenses up. And if it's not a normal swing that I want to get comfortable with, if there's other things that are competing with that shot, and there's so many things always competing with a shot, that the tension that builds in the body, in the jaw, in the shoulders, in the hands, they all increase. And so that, to me, always is the last thing that I have to remember, and probably the first thing I forget, is to just try to take a breath and relax through it.
We have a name for people who don't tense up in these situations. They're called non-golfers. So from tour players to 100 shooters, when a situation is a little out of the ordinary or when you just need to pull the shot off, it doesn't matter whether you're a tour player or a 100 shooter, you're going to tense up. And so just be aware, I have an unusual situation. I'm going to relax my expectation. I'm going to relax myself because I'm not expecting to hit my best shot. I've got a tough situation here. Go easy on yourself. Relax your expectation. Lighten everything up. Move the ball up toward your lead foot. Take practice swings to where you really get the feel of how the turf is going to interact with your golf club. And just give it your best.
This is something I've noticed on golf. This has never happened to me because I got into the game late and I just became way too serious about it. Maybe you, because you've been playing your whole life, you've had experience with this situation, but this is a long lead in for an admission of I've never really drunk beer on the golf course. And I know that's a pastime. I know a lot of people drink a lot of beer on golf courses. Does the beer, besides being dehydrating, but does it loosen you up or does it tense you up in situations like that? Do you have any idea?
Well, I've heard of people who don't drink beer on the golf course, but I've never actually observed it myself.
Who do not drink beer on the golf
course. No, I think that, you know, I think it's individual. I mean, it's there is a community of golfers out there that if you told them there's no beer allowed on the golf course, they'd put their clubs back in the trunk and they'd leave. And there are people – I have a very good friend who I play golf with a lot who likes to drink scotch and beer as good as the next guy. But if he's on the golf course or in a card game, he is not going to do it because he doesn't want to dull his edge.
Yeah.
And I think it's a matter of whether your golf is recreational or not. And, you know, we all go to the golf course for a bunch of different reasons. And shooting a great score is the reason only for the guys that do it for a living. The rest of us, we go out to the golf course and we'd like to shoot a great score. But that 4 or 4.5 hours is going to give us a lot of other things beside the opportunity to do that. And if having a beer or two with your buddies or 10 or whatever your threshold is what you go out there for, it's up to you. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you, Fred, that you've missed a lifetime of experience by not drinking a beer on the golf course. But, you know, that's up to you.
No, I've heard of people, you know, no beer allowed on the golf course. I've heard of that. I've heard of no cigars on the golf course, which I don't get. And I've heard of no cell phones on the golf course.
That I would go for. Beer and cigars, I think there is certainly a place for them on the golf course.
Yes.
Cell phones, I would – one of my favorite stories, and if I can indulge your readers, back when phones were first getting small enough to get where you could carry them around, I had a group that I played golf with. In San Antonio, we called ourselves the Grinders, and there was anywhere from 15 to 30 of us, depending on the day. And we threw up balls, and off we went. And the pro shop would send golfers down, new members, whatever, down to play with us every once in a while. And this guy showed up on the golf course with one of these new cell phones that was smaller than a World War II walkie-talkie, and at the time, which was the state of the art. And one of our guys told him, he said, you know, hey, we'd love to have you join us. You can't play in the individual game because we don't know your handicap. You're welcome in the team game, but we don't do these mobile phones in our group. And the guy's like, okay. So this guy's on the phone like 3 times in the first 4 holes, and he walks up to the 4th green talking on this little phone that's about, you know, the half the size of a World War II walkie-talkie, so it's pretty cool. And this guy walks over to him and says, that's really a pretty cool phone. Can I see it?
Uh-oh.
And the guy hands it to him, and he takes it, and he throws it in the middle of the lake. And he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out three $100 bills and he says, go buy yourself another one, but don't ever bring it out here again.
Ouch. Ouch. All right. Well, my basic rules on the cell phone is make sure you turn the bell off. And it goes like this. If it rings while we're playing, that's one stroke. If you answer it, that's two strokes. If you initiate the call, you lose the hole.
Well, see, I think you should take it over to your beer thing. If it rings, you buy everybody one beer. If you answer it, everybody two beers.
I don't drink beer. I don't drink the beer. Anyway, well, listen.
Fun, and I hope that helps Jerome figure out how to handle those soft, muddy lies. And Jerome, give us a call back or drop us an email. Let us know how that worked for you.
Yeah, absolutely. But Jerome, also reach out because you have just earned yourself a Score 41-61 scoring club from Score Golf. And they want to get on the phone with you and customize it so it works exactly for your game. Then you can become a Golf Smarter member and get 15% off of the purchase of the other four clubs that you're going to love to have in your bag. And if you're not a Golf Smarter member, you'll get a 10% discount. Use the checkout code GOLFSMARTER. If you are a member and you want to get that 15% discount, I can't give you that checkout code. You have to be a member, and it is on the members only site, and it'll also be listed in the show notes for the members episodes. That extra 5% that you'll get is well worth joining Golf Smarter for members only. So please do it today. Terry, thank you so much. We'll talk to you in a couple episodes. We'll miss the members only, but we'll be back for the free Golf Smarter episode, and we'll have another Score Zone Short Game Academy.
As fun as always.
So let me update you on the 2012 People's Choice Podcast Awards. I've received a lot of emails wanting to know the results. Well, just last night, all the winners were announced. Congratulations. And now, since we're golfers, we love stats. And I want to give you a couple of numbers before I give you the results. There were more than 9 million nominations submitted, representing over 5,000 podcasts. When the voting was completed, podcastawards.com received over 22 million votes. So the fact that Golf Smarter made the top 10 was a significant accomplishment indeed. I'm honored. Really, I'm honored to be mentioned and grateful for the support and pride that our community displayed in earning that recognition. Thank you. You guys are awesome. Actually, since you're a podcast listener, you may want to review the finalists in each category because I'm sure you'll find something new to listen to. I have. Doesn't mean you need to stop listening here, but you might find something else in a different category or even sports that you liked. Now, as for our finish, it was a huge uphill battle because in the sports category alone, there was one show done by CBS Sports of the 10 and four from ESPN, which is owned by ABC, which is mostly owned by Disney. Is it a fair fight that some schlub hanging out at his home with a marketing budget worth a cup of coffee has to compete with Disney? Who knows? But I did it, and I couldn't be more proud. The winner in the sports category actually also was the winner of the major award, the People's Choice Podcast Award, and congratulations to ESPN Fantasy Focus Football. Now, let me mention once again that this golf season, I really want you to check out Alpha Brain. It said that the longest 6 inches in golf are between our ears. Alpha Brain will narrow the gap. The words Golf Smarter will also get you a 10% discount. To learn more, click on the Alpha Brain ad at golfsmarter.com. That's Alpha Brain by Onnit Labs. Also, how'd you like to get a free wedge from Score Golf? It's pretty simple to do. Jerome Stowers did. Just click on the Score Zone Short Game Academy button at golfsmarter.com and send in a question about your short game. If Terry answers it on an upcoming episode, and let me say, your chances are much greater than you think, you receive a customized Score 41-61 scoring club. If you're a regular Golf Smarter listener, then I'm absolutely confident that you have at least one question about your short game, so submit it today. Up next for members only by request, it's the Dan Plan. Huh? The Dan Plan's a project of transformation, an experiment in potential and possibilities. Through 10,000 hours of deliberate practice, Dan, who started this project with minimal golf experience, plans on becoming a professional golfer.
You got to become a member to check this one out. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.